Praise the Lord and welcome, everybody. God bless you all. First Sunday of spring, we're rolling right through the year. My goodness. Resurrection Sunday's in 4 weeks, moving right along. Praise the Lord. So today we're going to have a little fun. The objective is to encourage you. And I think a lot of people have had a challenging discouragement through the last few months. There's been a lot of attacks against the people here. So we're going to change this up a little. We're going to have a little bit of fun and lighten up things a little bit. There's a story of the cab driver from New York City and the pastor who went to heaven at the same time. And they get there and St. Peter walks them inside and the cab driver gets to his beautiful palatial mansion and just gorgeous. It's huge. It's massive, you know. And the pastor's thinking, wow, if this is what a cab driver's going to get, what am I going to get? So he gets down a few more blocks on the streets of gold and it's a nice place, but it's nowhere near as nice as the cab driver. And the pastor asked St. Peter, I don't understand. I pastored churches for over 40 years. What's going on here? And St. Peter said, well, when you preached, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. You know, I was in New York City about 25 years ago on a business trip. This is back when I was really in shape, had, you know, slender waist, bigger arms. And some friends of mine and I were going to go out for dinner one night. So we get in this cab, and there's myself. I was pretty good shape. There was this other gentleman. He was about the size of Jimmy Stewart, for those who remember him, tall, lanky. And then there was Candy, and Candy was a Green Beret and looked it. And then there was this other guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a lineman from Texas A&M, and he was massive. He was never asked to find his body, he was just massive. And it looked like he bench pressed a truck with each hand, you know. So we're in this cab driver, and this cab driver is about the size of Pastor Sarah. He's got a little turban hat on, you know. And we're driving, and he turned right. We're driving, he turns right again. I said, guys, we just made three right turns, which means we went in a going back in a circle. He's running up the tab on us. And the Texan says, boy, you know what we do in Texas? People try to rip us off. Cab driver looked at me, looked at Candy, looked at the Texan. He flipped the meter off and gave us a free ride after that. That's exact. Taking authority is exactly right. Okay. On a very interesting note, George Foreman went to be with the Lord this week. And I was always a fan of George Foreman. He was a fun guy to watch. He had a big, exuberant personality. And after he won the championship, he actually died after one of his fights and came back and dedicated his life to Jesus. And he set up churches in Houston and centers to help the young people not go into the trouble ways and things like that. But his money manager lost all of his money, so he had to go back and fight again. And he stayed fighting. He developed a whole new era. And at 49 years old, became the oldest person to win the heavyweight championship of the world. What's interesting is he was going to quit, but his wife, says, who's also a Christian, says, no, the Lord told him you have to win the championship. And he went back in and won the championship the next time. So, you know, God bless George. He's up there on the streets of heaven. And the important thing is that he's on the streets of heaven. He's on the streets of gold in heaven. That's what really counts, you know. So, and we can only do what we can do. But we have to do what we're supposed to do, okay? So, as we look at the challenges around the world, and there's lots of them, as we look at the challenges in our own lives, and there's a lot there too, because we have an enemy called Satan, and Satan's going to make sure that you've got challenges. But the question is, how do you handle it? Do you handle it like George did? Get up and just fight again? Or do you take it lying down? I seriously doubt he wanted to go back and fight at the age he was when he started again. Okay? But he did what he had to do. And this is my point to you. We're going to try to encourage you that it doesn't matter that you're being attacked right now. What matters is that you are in victory in Jesus' name. Okay? So on Wednesday night, I started a prophetic encouragement series on the Overcomer service. And I want to share more prophetic messages given us over the last year and recently. Now, we're blessed at 6:33 a.m. when we do our 6:33 prayers. It's been at least seven times that Jesus has shown up to us. And the last time was on Thursday, the first day of spring, which is very exciting because he said there's a new season now. And we're very encouraged about this season coming forward. We're expecting to see huge victories because of this, you know. And some people think, well, maybe you don't really have Jesus show up. I'm saying, you come on 6:33, and if he's there and you don't agree with me, you can tell me then, okay? Everybody that's been on 6:33 that's been there when I said Jesus is here has always agreed that it's been Jesus. And what's really exciting about this is when we replay on the replays, people are still getting healed because of the power of the anointing that's on those replays. So it's very, very exciting for me. So, you know, one of the first words I got a long time ago was, I am, is giving you the wisdom of Solomon. So being afraid, believe, always be courageous. Fear stops the anointing. You're only as strong as the word of God that resides in you. The enemy's strongholds / walls have come crashing down just like Jericho. The enemy is afraid of you. Now, I want you to remember that. When you have Jesus in your heart, when you're walking in your authority, the enemy is afraid of you, okay? As it says in James 4:7, because you are submitted to me, you are empowered. I am makes the impossible possible. Believe, for what is naturally impossible for you, it has already been done now by God. Now is the time for the transfer of wealth to come to you. Now, I don't know why he has me phrase it this way. He does not want to say wealth transfer. He wants to say transfer of wealth. I don't know why, but that's what the Lord's instructed me to do. We're going to call it the transfer of wealth. Okay? Another word we got was, see yourself as I, God, sees you. As he, a man or a woman, thinks in his or her heart, so is he or she. Of course, that's Proverbs 23:7. You are a mighty warrior of valor with great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. You have gallant bravery and strength. Like Joshua's men were called mighty men of valor, so are you. Gideon was called a mighty warrior, so are you. David's men were also called mighty men of valor. I think it was really good. You were doing spiritually mighty feats for me, says the Lord. Embrace your challenge. Don't run from it. Run towards it, for the victory is yours. I am has given it to you. I don't care what your challenge is. I don't care what's going on out there in the world, what it looks like in the natural. You claim your victory. You have your victory now. You take it. You take it by force with the word of God. Okay? Another time. Today you are walking in your authority and power. I am has given you the go to take dominion. Fear not. I am has given you a dream that is not too large, as I am is with you. Your victorious example will lead many people to me, being God. Okay? Your dream, the vision God has given you, seems too big for you, because it is. But it's not too big with you and God together. David didn't fight Goliath by himself. Paraphrasing, me and my God will defeat you, uncircumcised giant. They went there with the authority and power of God. As you go forward, whatever your Goliath is in your life, remember, God is on your side. You are on God's side. You are victorious. Now, Pastor James and Pastor Karen have a unique calling to build people up to a continually stronger and stronger level with me being God, okay, says the Lord. I am, has promised you abundance. Now is the time for your transfer of wealth. You now have the confidence and boldness to go forward. Joel 2:18, then the Lord will be jealous for his land, ready to defend it since it's rightfully and uniquely his. He will have compassion on his people and will spare them. God is with you to take dominion over your challenge. God is with you to expand your tent stakes. God is with you to do what you need to do for the kingdom of God. It's time for us to take our dominion over this world completely and totally. Does the Antichrist have to come? Yes. But it does not say, stick around, go in a cave, and wait for it to happen. My Bible says, take dominion, and that's what we need to do. Okay. You have been in a season of preparation. You will continue to move to a higher level of understanding, which gives you a stronger anointing. You've been prepared for such a time as this, and you are ready. You are ready, just as David was ready to fight Goliath. Okay? You must still do your part. Remember, I am is with you. Have faith in me, God. Have faith in God. He has prepared you for such a time as this. He has prepared you for this season that's coming up now. This is the season where you are to shine. And as you shine, people come to you and say, what's going on? You'll be able to lead them to the Lord. Because they're going to be asking you what's happening. They're going to be coming to you. And they're ready to receive. You know, there's an adage in business. You don't look for people who need your product. Look for people who want your product. I can show you people who are hundreds of pounds overweight won't walk in a gym. They don't want it. They won't go on a diet. Okay? Who wants it? Who's ready to change their life? That's the ones who are going to come to you. Those who are ready to make the change. Okay? When Laban had taken from Jacob, I am gave all the prosperity to Jacob. The devil is taken from you, and I am now gives you the prosperity. You have all been prepared for such a time as this. Continue seeking God with ardent zeal and intense effort, as says in Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Ardent, intense desire, burning, glowing, passion, and enthusiasm. Go forward with enthusiasm. Go forward with that sense of victory, zeal. Earnest, enthusiastic, great energy. Enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or objective. Okay, ardent zeal. Put those two together, and you are unstoppable. Go for it with ardent zeal. Go for it like you're a champion. I don't care if you're down by 100 points. You go out there in the fourth quarter knowing you're going to win the game. That's what a champion does. Don't think about the past. Forget about it. You just put on, this is what I need to do right now today to turn all this around. You have financial challenges, made mistakes for decades. A lot of people have. Doesn't matter. Today forward, Lord, what do I do? Jesus, where do I put my net? You'll bring in such a big haul, all the past problems will be gone. The only place it matters to be in the lead is at the end. And this is where you're going to take your leads. It's time for us to take our lead as Christians, as the ones that God blesses. Why is the world out there being outblessed? Because we're not doing our part. We must take our lead. We must go with ardent zeal and pursue the goals that God has put onto us. Okay? Your time is now. I am has seen your diligence. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Too many Christians are sitting on their laurels or sitting back and waiting for God to do it all. That's not what the Bible says to do. Okay? Proverbs 13:4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. As you are diligently doing day by day what God tells you to do, you will receive it all. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Too many people want the magic wand to God. Too many people don't want to do what they need to do. If God tells you to do X number of affirmations a day, do it. But you got to do your part. When Jesus spat on the ground, told the guy to go wash the mud off his eyes, he had to go do that. Okay. Even the Old Testament, when the general had to go dip himself 7 times in the river, he had to do that. Whatever God's telling you to do, we must do. But do it with zeal. Do it with enthusiasm. Go for it. Go back to the plans I have given you and run with them, says the Lord. Okay? You've all got plans. Many put them on the back burner. Get them out. Write them down. Read them aloud. Read them on a weekly basis. Focus on what you need to do. Focus on what God wants you to do. Okay? It is time to receive your victories. Press in now. This is the season. This is the season for victories. Press in for it. Now, spend quiet time with me, being God, this week. I will give you instructions how to proceed towards my goal for you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Your breakthrough is now. You have been prepared for such a time as this. So block out half an hour. Sit in quiet. Turn off the computers. Turn off the cell phones. Turn off the TVs. Turn off whatever it is. Let the Lord speak to you. There's a reason why it says go into your prayer closet. Because that's when you're not bothered. You're alone. He'll have your full attention. Satan knows how to distract us very, very well. Satan's very talented at what he does to get us pulled out of our thing that we need to do. Listen to the Lord. Hear his voice. The more you do this, the more you'll be correct in what you hear and see. The more you'll know his voice. This is very, very important right now. Okay. Number 10. Jesus is blessing all of us. Today you've received from him a special impartation to receive all that I am has for you. According to the transfer of wealth, you are ready. You have everything you need to start. I am will give you more as you grow. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, pastor of ABC Church, I bless everybody with this impartation. I send out right now that they will receive all that you have for them. And they'll receive this impartation to receive it. And they'll feel it. And they'll process it. And they'll do what needs to be done. And they'll do it with ardent zeal. And they'll press on toward the mark of their high calling. Number 11. I am said, you are worthy. God says you are to cast off any lies of the enemy telling you that you do not deserve to receive my blessings. And that's what Satan will do to you. Well, you know, you sinned 2 years ago. Well, you know, remember when you were a child and you did this wrong? Yeah, we all know our mistakes. But if you've done a repentance prayer, they're forgiven. You've been fully pardoned. In fact, you've been restored to the point where those sins don't even exist anymore. And when Satan pulls that up to your face, you say, it is written. That doesn't affect me anymore. And I'm going to tell you this right now. The Lord is telling you, you are worthy to receive all that he has for you. Jesus didn't die on that cross 2,000 plus years ago for you not to take his blessings. He died on the cross that you would take his blessings. That was his gift to you. Are you saying, well, I don't really deserve it. I don't want it. No, he decided if you deserved it. He made the decision. He could have said, no, they're not worth it. He chose to go to the cross for you. And you need to receive everything he has for you. That's how you thank him. You take his gift, and you do with it what he wants you to do with it. Okay? Number 12. Jesus told me as of the first day of spring, March 2025, was actually a demarcation time in the spirit realm of a new season for the body of Christ. It's time for the harvest of all seeds of prayers and love offerings you've sown to come to fruition. It's not coincidental that I'm here today. It's not coincidental that spring has just sprung and that this new season is here. And by the way, I want to thank everybody who was so supportive while Pastor Karen and I were taking care of family needs the last 2 months. And the wonderful team and staff and people we have here to step up the plate to take care of everything so we can go do what we need to do. That's what teamwork's all about. And we are a team with you here. We pray for you every single day. We believe for your victory every single day. All these seeds, all these offerings, everything you've sown is going to come into fruition. Now, this is the day, this is the season for the transfer of wealth. Now, you still got to do your part. It's not going to magically show up in your bank account, which a lot of people think. What is God telling you to do to affect your transfer of wealth? Did Joseph have to run Egypt? Yes, he did. Okay. Did Peter have to drop his net? Not once, but twice. Once in the deep, once on the right side of the boat. Yes, he did. Okay. What do you have to do? Did Jacob have to go and work the sheep so they all came out spotted and speckled so they were all his? Yes, he did. What do you have to do? Spend that quiet time with the Lord, ask what you have to do, and then do it. It will not be too hard for you, okay? Now, some examples, the result of a prophetic message of encouragement from God, okay? 2 Chronicles 20:15, 16. The prophetic word from God told them where to go and said, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is yours, but not God's. You do not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed." And that's a key point. Do not fear or be dismayed. There's no fear here. You're victorious. No weapon formed against you will prosper. This is your season. If you take the boldness and the authority and take it, okay? Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. In Hebrew, the scripture probably means that the king Jehoshaphat and his army needed to stop and rest in the Lord and not plan on doing any fighting, okay? 2 Corinthians 20:21. Jehoshaphat put praises in front of his army to sing praises to God, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." He said to send his army out. He sent the praises in front of the army. He didn't lay back in camp and just let it happen. He did what the Lord told him to do. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah. And they were defeated, self-slaughtered, and they carried off their plunder. There was so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect where they had praised the Lord. Now, there are other times when Jesus, when God told them to fight, and they did. But the point is this here. Do what the Lord tells you to do. What did Paul and Silas do in prison? They just praised God. They just praised God. And the gates opened up. The shackles fell off. They just praised God. But they did what they were supposed to do. Okay? When Peter needed to pay taxes, Jesus sent him to go catch a fish. Taxes didn't magically appear in Peter's hand. He did what he said to do. Here's the point. Two people getting word from God and not following through. That doesn't work. Jesus had to follow through and go to the cross to bless everybody. Okay? We're going to today spend some time with the Lord, or this week sometime, and listen to what he has for you to do. Write it down, and that is your number one priority. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Trust me on this. If there's nothing else I say, trust me on this. You do what the Lord tells you to do, everything else will line up in place for you automatically. Okay? I don't care what the problem is, what the challenge is, it will line up for you. Okay? All right. Now, my personal belief is that the enemy was so confused they started to fight one another. Every one of them died, like when God defeated Pharaoh's army. Exodus 14:24-25. But early in the morning, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud. He threw them into confusion. Their chariot wheels began to come off, making their chariots impossible to drive. "Let's get out of here," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for Israel against us." Remember, when you do what the Lord tells you to do, he is fighting against the devil for you. He will send his angels out to fight for you. But you got to do your part. Like the Tower of Babel. "Come, let's go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech." Okay? Why? Because when they're one accord, Nothing is impossible for them. You know, God's word is unbridled. If a heathen is doing something according to God's word, it will work for him. So when you get a bunch of heathens together and they're talking the same language and they're causing challenges, it's going to work. That's why God put confusion to the Tower of Babel. So they couldn't talk to one another. But the bottom line is God's word works, period. It's unbridled, okay? Now, when God promised Moses he would put confusion on his enemies and cause them to be defeated, in Deuteronomy 7:23-24, Moses spoke about the victory the Lord would grant the Israelites over the enemies if they obeyed him. But Lord, your God, will hand them over to you. He will throw them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. He, God, will put their kings in your power. You will erase their names from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. Whatever the enemy's plan against you, when you're doing what God tells you to do, that enemy will be destroyed. Now, we're talking spiritually now. We don't do physical things here. You know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, powers of the air. Okay? But when the principalities, powers of the air of the demonic realm is not against you, you're free to do what you need to do. Okay? Going back to 2 Chronicles 20, 27, 28. King Jehoshaphat and his men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully, for the Lord had supernaturally defeated three enemy armies. They were outnumbered 3-1, and they won without firing a single arrow, without drawing a single sword. Let me repeat that. They were outnumbered 3-1 and didn't have to draw a single sword. They didn't shed one drop of their own blood. They won because they did what the Lord told them to do. They went out and did it, okay? The fear of the God came out of surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the king of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. When you have victories like this, people notice. People come to you and receive the Lord. Others who are going to challenge you are going to stay away because they don't want to fight against you. Not you personally, but they know your God will win. And those demons, devils, evil spirits that are causing those challenges in your life will run. What does it say? James 4:7, resist the devil, he will flee from you. When you set up this kind of a camping around yourself with the Lord, the demons, devils, evil spirits are going to start fleeing and running from you. Now, I'm sorry to say this. There's too many of us that have been taking attacks too hard. We haven't been doing what we need to do. We need to stand up spiritually, fight these enemies, and get them off our backs. And I'm calling for financial breakthroughs. I'm calling for physical healings. I'm calling for relationships restored and for every challenge to be removed from every challenge to anybody who's in ABC or 633 right now in Jesus' name. Okay. Acts 16:25-26. But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise of God, the other prisoners were listening to them. Other prisoners were listening to them. People are watching what you do. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of prison were shaken, the doors were open, and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Now, shackles were the chains locked around their hands and feet. In an earthquake, they would just shake. But because God was there, they fell off. The chains came off. It was more than just an earthquake. It was a supernatural event. The prisoners noticed. Do you think they turned their hearts to God after that? I'll bet a lot of them did. We know the warden did. The warden started a church after that. Why? They could do nothing but praise God. Now, when you think about the prisons back then, they were way down dungeons. They were filthy. They probably had excrement and other things all around them. Bugs, rats, all kinds of challenges. They weren't cared for. They got sick. No doctors. Horrible places. The stench must have been horrific. You learn that they didn't complain one iota. They said, let's praise God. So what challenge are you going through today? What's your challenge? Write it down. Then praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because as you praise God, he will tell you what to do. And as you praise God, you'll see your victory. You will visualize your victory. You will see the overcoming of every single challenge. Every single challenge. Am I excited today? Yes, I am. I'm coming upon 3 years of being pastor of this church in June. And I'm very excited to see the breakthroughs that I'm seeing in the Spirit right now. I am so looking forward to hearing the testimonies of the people that are receiving what the Lord wants to do for them. I'm so excited because I believe in you. I believe you've been properly trained all these years. You've gone through the courses here at ABC. You had the background knowledge. Just as David had the knowledge how to use that sling from years of practicing with it. And if you have to get out your books again and reread them, that's okay. If you have to go online and recheck it out, that's okay. The foundation is there. Listen to the Lord. Find out what you need to do. Listen to the Lord. Your victory is now. Your victory is now. Your victory is now. So, let's perfect this praise by singing every day. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. This stills the avenger. This defeats the enemy. We have victory over every challenge in our lives. Now we're going to practice perfecting our praise, strengthening ourselves, completing the defeat of the enemy against us, standing up to our feet, and singing these praise songs to the Lord as an act of spiritual warfare that stills the avenger. Defeats the enemy, gives victory over any challenge we're facing now. Let's start by repeating this phrase like God told Jehoshaphat's praisers to do. Repeat after me. I give you thanks.
I give you thanks.
Lord. For your love endures forever.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever. One more. I give you thanks, Lord.
For your love endures forever.
So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise and glorify you. I send this message out to everybody right now to receive and to believe that you are on their side, and they are victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise God. You see my beautiful wife who's joined me up here today. We're going to do our announcements together. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you know any sins, confess them now. If not, please repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I am not aware of any sins.
I am not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1, 9.
According to 1 John 1, 9.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 11:24 says, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So please repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you that Jesus.
We thank you that Jesus.
Himself bore our sins.
Himself bore our sins.
In his own body.
In his own body.
On the tree.
On the tree.
That we. Having died to sins.
Having died to sins.
Might live for righteousness.
Might live for righteousness.
By whose stripes. We were healed.
We were healed.
And we receive. Healing.
Healing.
For every part.
Of our bodies.
Take the body now in Jesus' name.
And we agree and we receive in Jesus' name. In the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So can you repeat this prayer with me, please? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can partake. Of the blood of Jesus. That was the payment. For our redemption. Amen. Let us partake now.
We agree and receive in Jesus' name. Excellent. Those are our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready?
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
One more.
We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.